This is Seattle's Morning News, and we're going to talk about ghost guns now. And the scary thing about ghost guns is that, in fact, they are very real. They just sort of have this invisibility cloak in that you can legally own one, and it doesn't have to have a serial number because you have made it yourself. And Jeremy White, who is a graphics editor with the New York Times, put out a video on this because you actually ordered the kit and made one yourself. Was it difficult?
It wasn't that difficult. I am somewhat handy with tools. I think if you're used to building small projects, doing home improvement things around the house, it would be pretty straightforward for anyone to build one of these.
Now, did you are these sold as kits?
You can buy them as kits. You can buy them as individual parts or as kits that contain everything that you would need to complete the project.
And there's no background check, I assume. This is not a face-to-face transaction. It just comes, you just do it over the internet?
Yes. I was sitting at my desk at work, ordered it over the internet. And the reason there is no background check is because these aren't legally guns.
Yeah.
They're parts. And at a certain point during that construction process, it becomes a gun. The part that the ATF really looks at and evaluates to see if it is how complete it is. Mm-hmm. And the lower receiver is what makes a gun legally. So it houses a lot of the internal parts that are required to actually fire a bullet out of the barrel. So if you have something that isn't really a completed receiver, whether you're printing something and you're starting from scratch, or whether you're doing it the way that I ended up doing it, which was to take this polymer receiver that had extra polymer on it, mm-hmm. and removed the polymer, then that became a lower receiver.
Okay, so what made your receiver legal was that it was in sort of a rough form. It could not be used to make a gun as is. You had to operate on it.
Yes, that's correct. In some cases, I had to drill holes. In other places on the receiver, I needed to go and remove extra parts, extra bits of polymer that were just sort of left over. There was a lot of sanding and filing and just kind of smoothing some of it down.
Right. So they could have sent you, not legally, but they could have sent you a ready-to-go receiver, but in order to make this legal, they leave extra plastic on, which you are required to file or drill away. And that is what makes it legal to sell these things over the internet without requiring any kind of serial number.
Correct.
Now, are there a substantial number of these out in the wild?
It's tough to tell. There's no real data on this. The only data that we can actually look at is how many of these are being seized by police forces and ATF agents in the U.S. So because these are coming from private sellers and there's no registration process and the companies that sell these don't have to be licensed firearm dealers, there's no data there to keep track of. It's like buying something off Amazon at that point.
Yeah. So if one of these were to be used in some kind of crime and left at the scene, it couldn't be traced to anybody.
Correct. It would be very difficult to find out where this came from. In fact, so I live in New York City. I can't legally bring back this finished firearm back to the city. So, you know, initially it was a kit. It wasn't really a gun. But once I completed that project, I couldn't bring it back to New York. So I returned it to a police station in Virginia, and they had a difficult time finding any identifying marks or numbers or anything like that on this, what was a Glock 19, because it was just stamped with some model numbers and things like that. There was no serial number. In the U.S., it's always been legal to make your own gun.
Right.
And if you're making it for personal use, that's perfectly legal. However, what ends up happening is these are being made and then they're being sold, or they're making their way into crime scenes.
Right. And they're even more valuable because they have no history and no serial number. So what did it cost you for the kit?
Well, I had bought the kit during something called Glocktober, which is a sale during the month of October. I paid $399 for the Glock 19. And a new Glock 19 from the factory is around $500.
But yours had the advantage of not having a serial number. So do you have any idea what that would have been worth on the black market?
From what I understand, they're being sold for about twice as much as what you could buy them for.
Yeah. So that's an occupation for somebody. That's a full-time business for somebody. Just making these kits and selling them on the black market, you could make a pretty decent, I mean, there seems to be a very strong economic incentive to do this, which would mean all the laws, I mean, if this really caught on, became a cottage industry, all the laws we pass are unenforceable, just unenforceable.
Yeah, it makes it difficult. Without knowing who is acquiring these, you know, there's no background check at all. There's no check to see if someone is a domestic abuser, has a criminal past with several felonies. There's no age check. There's no citizenship check. There's nothing. So anyone with an internet connection and either a credit card or in some cases Bitcoin can acquire one of these. It's really tough to tell how popular these are, but one problem that we had along the way with this ghost gun that we built was finding a place to fire the pistol. And it wasn't because it was a homemade gun. It was because mostly it was, you know, the New York Times coming in and talking about this issue. There was no benefit for some of these gun ranges just to have us come in and do this on their property. But several conversations I had along the way with some of these employees at these gun ranges, I asked them, is this unusual? Is it just because we have something that we've made ourselves? And the answer was consistently no. This is not unusual. People are bringing these in all the time.
So it sounds like the cat's out of the bag.
Oh, the cat's out of the bag.
Yeah.
Yes.
So did you come away from the story, I don't know, feeling more or less safe?
Well, that's tough. I mean, for me, I think that I'm a big fan of the First Amendment, and, you know, I think the Second Amendment is also very important. I think that if someone wants to make their own gun for personal use, I think that should remain legal. It always has been. I don't see why it shouldn't be. However, these kits make it a little too easy, and it makes it so easy that someone can build several of these in a short amount of time. It should be a little harder if you want to build your own gun. So, on one hand, I understand the appeal of these because after building it myself, you know, quite frankly, it was fun. It was like any other small project where you're working with tools,
sure,
you have to be
sure.
Precise, you know, you're following the directions, and it's a good way to spend some time, you know, in the garage. However, for me, access is a real problem with these types of guns because it's just a little too easy to get your hands on them. Mostly anonymously. Even if you go to a gun show, you're talking to a human being, right? It's a person-to-person interaction. But here, you can be completely anonymous.
Jeremy White is graphics editor with the New York Times and built his own polymer-based Glock. You're not considering a freelance gig, are you?
I'm not going to quit my day job, no.
No, okay. Jeremy, thanks very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.